Appreciate everyone that's here this morning, and we got some visitors. Glad you're here today, and just get right in and worship with us. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I'm going to look at one verse here, but I'm going to read you three. Well, I've got plenty to preach from. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Last year, I preached several sermons concerning the mysteries of the gospel. And he makes mention here that this is a mystery. And I'm looking at, in verse 18, he talks about praying in the Spirit. It is a mystery to some folks about when we talk about when we pray in the Spirit. Well, what is praying in the Spirit? I know that this is, our church is called the house of prayer. I think if anybody ought to know how to pray, it ought to be the house of prayer. But there are so many questions around praying. And how do we pray? And you know, I hear some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't pray repetitious prayers. And I know Jesus spoke about praying repetitious prayers. And he's not talking about being thankful for our food. You just go ahead and keep thanking Him for the food that you have on your table. Keep thanking Him for the health that you have. I mean, don't stop giving him thanks for the things, the blessings that He's bestowed upon us and the goodness that He's given to us. We need to be thankful for that. And yet don't, I mean, that's not what He's talking about being repetitious. But sometimes we'll get to praying and we'll pray and it seems like our prayers just don't go anywhere. Sometimes whenever I pray, it's like the words, I can't even get them to come out right, Brother Dave. They don't make sense. And other times I can pray and it seems like the anointing just comes on me and I begin to pray and as I begin to speak, my mind begins to work and I begin to pray and I pray about things that I haven't thought about in years, and God brings the remembered scriptures and verses and brings promises to my mind, and I begin to pray and I pray and before long I don't even realize what time it is, and I've prayed for hours and hours, and where's the time gone? That's when I'm praying in the Spirit. But there's other times I'll get down and I'll pray, and I'll pray for everything I can think about, and I'll get up and look at the clock, and 3 minutes has passed. Some of y'all been there. But he said, praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we lose track of time. You see, God is not a God of time. He goes in and out of time. But He's not a God of time. Time means nothing to God. Well, I want to look at just a few of the principles of praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we lose track of all time. We get in a heavenly realm. Time means nothing to us. Our problems seems to go away. The things that we are facing, it seems like our aches and our pains, it seems like we get into a totally different element. I want you to think with me just a little bit about prayer. Prayer starts with an audible sound. When I pray, I can hear myself pray. I can hear the words come out of my mouth. I can hear them with my ear. It is a sound. Those prayers that we pray, Brother Tim, the angels pick them up and they are carried into the throne room of heaven. And what starts out as a sound is carried by the angels and ends up as an incense or a smell to God. Some of y'all's looking at me like I'm crazy. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. I want you to see this. It said, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Did you see that? Our prayer starts out as sound carried by the angels to heaven and ends up as odors before God. Well, that was a good scripture, but let's go to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. And it said, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came from the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Starts out as a sound carried by the angels and ends up as an odor or an incense, a smell before God. I want you to think about something else with me. Prayers are powerful. Prayers never expire. Brother Brent, the prayers your mother prayed for you are still as good as they prayed for you as they are today. Prayers don't expire. The prayers my mother and dad pray for me, they're still as powerful as they ever was. They are stored up in heaven, in our Heavenly Father, as an odor or an incense before Him. Don't give up. If you've got a lost loved one or a wayward child, don't give up praying. Those prayers will never expire. You may expire. You may go by the way of the grave. But those prayers will never die. I want you to notice where this text is located in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 6. You Bible readers know this. He's talking about the armor of God. We're talking about the helmet of salvation. We're talking about our feet being shod with the preparation. He's talking about spiritual warfare. When we begin to pray, there is a battle that is going on. When we pray in the Spirit, there's war that's being waged. Well, where does that war wage? It wages in the heavens. Satan, the old devil, he was an angel. He was a fallen angel. He don't know the thoughts in your head. He don't know really what all you're going to do tomorrow. He don't know what you got planned for next week. He doesn't know any of that. He knows what you say. And what he does is he watches other angels. And when other angels start to carry the prayers of the saints to heaven, the old devil knows to attack. And if he knows the House of Prayer Church is going to be meeting about 10 o'clock every Sunday morning to have Sunday school, he can predict that we're getting ready to start opening with prayer. And we're going to have church service, and somewhere around 12 o'clock or so, we're going to have an altar call, and we're going to ask the saints to come up and pray. Satan knows to start buffering. He knows that there's prayers getting ready to start going up. And he begins to wage war. The problem is the pattern. He knows at a certain time around our house that we're getting ready to pray. And Satan will start to distract. You know, God is a God of order. God is a God of patterns. And I'm not saying that to get out of pattern or get out of order. There's a time for everything. You go back and you read the 119th Psalm and you'll find out that God is a God of pattern. You look at the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible. You'll find it that every 50th letter in Genesis and Exodus spells Torah. That's not by happenstance. You'll find in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that every 50th letter spells Torah backwards. We got the, by the way, 50. The number 50 means a lot. And you'll find out that we have the coming of the looking forward to the Messiah. Then we have the Messiah that has come, and then we have the book of Leviticus that's pointing towards Yahweh. This wasn't just by chance. The Bible is full of patterns. Psalms 119, it's broken up into to 22 segments, and every segment begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. God is a God of order and a God of patterns. But Satan watches out for activity with the angels. Daniel prayed three times a day. How do you think that the old king found out that he was praying three times a day? Because Satan told him. There was a pattern there. You get over in Genesis chapter 28, and you'll find that Jacob. Jacob, he was there. He had the stones that he was laying on for a pillow, and he had a vision of the angels ascending and descending up and down the ladder. And about morning time, you'll read in the Bible that Jacob said, he got a hold of the angel and said, I'm not going to turn you loose till you bless me. He picked those stones up and anointed them. And he said, surely the Lord must be in this place. Early in the morning, Jacob was praying. You'll find out that in Psalms chapter 63 and verse 1, it said, O God, thou art my God, early I will seek thee. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, and in the morning, this is Jesus rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Sometimes it'll do you some good to throw the devil off pace and pray at a different time. You'd be surprised if you just do a study on how many times different ones have got up and prayed early in the morning. I promise you it'll make a difference. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying break up your routine. Pray when it's not convenient. Pray when you normally don't pray. Pray at a different time of the day. Pray at a different time of the night. Why? Because Satan, he'll pattern the saints of God. He will try to send distractions. You have a normal time that you come and pray. I want you to listen to me. He'll send a distraction. You just can't pray. Your mind can't focus. If distractions doesn't work, then he'll send exhaustion. You know what? I'm just so exhausted that I can't. I'm too tired. Maybe if I just lay down and take a nap, then I'll feel like praying. Am I preaching to the choir? If exhaustion doesn't work, then he'll send aggravation. You ever get so aggravated at somebody or something that you just can't pray? I mean it. All you've got to do is go out and go to Walmart. Then go home and try to pray. It'll happen every time. Trey, whenever you get off work and you come home during rush hour traffic, it's probably not a good time to pray. If aggravation doesn't work, then division. If he can get division inside of the home or get division inside of the church, did y'all realize what I just said to y'all? Look at the first letter of it. Look at the first letter of everyone. Distraction, exhaustion, aggravation, and division. D-E-A-D. That's exactly where your prayers will be. They'll be dead. But you know something? I've got this leash I carry around my neck. And if I leave this thing turned on all day, by the end of the day, it's dead. In order for me to be able to use it, I've got to get it plugged back into the power source from which cometh my help. And when I can get plugged back into the power source, I'll get recharged and I won't have any distractions. I won't have any aggravations. I won't have any divisions. I won't have any exhaustions, but I'll be charged up and ready to preach again. We need to change our patterns. There's also a promotion that comes with praying in the Spirit. I've preached many a times, and I've heard a lot of preachers preach from the passage. You know the passage well. When Moses was sent by God to go to talk to Pharaoh, said, "Let my people go." Moses, he said, I have a speech problem. I'm slow to speech. But you know the funny thing about that is you'll read that God sent Aaron with him, but I don't ever read where Aaron spoke. You may feel inadequate, but God, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But by the time you get to Exodus chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9, I want you to look at something that happens here. Not only does Satan know your patterns, but God knows Satan's patterns. When the children of Israel was held in bondage by Pharaoh, God never intended for His people to be into slavery. Pharaoh is a picture of the devil. He's a picture of the enemy. He's the oppressor. And whenever God told Moses, I want you to go there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, I know that Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's house. He understood the ins and the outs of the king, if you will, the ruler. But I'll tell you this, you just don't walk into a king's palace and say, I want to talk to the king. It doesn't happen that way. But I want you to look here. Look in chapter 7 and verse 15. And he said, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent thou shalt take in thine hand. He said, I know where he's going to be. I want you to go out there and meet him. Well, now look in chapter 8 in verse number 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But now look what happens in chapter 9 in verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. In chapter 9, he didn't tell him to go down by the river. In chapter number 9, you realize that Pharaoh changed up his pattern. The man of God was praying in the Spirit, had the power of God with him, and he was beginning to make the enemy uncomfortable. I told you that there is promotions that come with praying. If the devil knows your pattern, but God knows the devil's pattern. He knows where to show up, and he knows where he's at. Pharaoh thought he could change his pattern because he knew Moses knew where he was going to be, but God was one step ahead of him. The devil only knows what he sees and what he hears. How do you know that? Well, by praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, there is a promotion that comes along with that. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying beyond your ability. You're praying with authority. I can pray with authority based on the Word of God. But when I begin to pray in the Spirit, there's a promotion that will come with it. Let me explain myself. authority, when I pray with authority, it's believing God's word. But there's a next level when I begin to pray with dominion. Dominion is given to you by your enemy. You remember when Saul was fallen? God told Samuel, go get your horn of oil and anoint that young man by the name of David. David was anointed. David was praying in the Spirit. But it wasn't until the giant's head rolled off that he had dominion. Let me just put this a little bit simpler. I hope I don't bring you by down this morning. It's not what I'm intending on doing here at all. But Brother Jared, I'll pick on you. You're fun to pick on. But if Jared come to me and says, Brother Denton, I just got a doctor's report. They diagnosed me with cancer. Serious. He said, I need prayer. You know the first person in this church that I want praying for me? I'm going to call Brother Tony Carter up here. Because Brother Tony Carter has dominion over cancer. He's already had it. He's defeated it. When we can get to where we're praying in the Spirit, and we can pray with authority, but when I get to that next level and I get to praying with dominion, then I've already defeated what the enemy has come at me with. Whenever Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, Pharaoh was still, he was pursuing them. He said, he called calf rope and said, go, get out of here, I'm done with you. But he still chased them right across the sea. But when they got to the other side and the water came crashing in all around him and drowned Pharaoh and his army, Moses and the children of Israel had dominion over Egypt. If anybody ever comes to me and say, I've lost their job, I want somebody to pray with me that has lost their job. They have dominion over that. If you come to me and say, Brother Hubbard, I've got an alcohol problem. I'm an alcoholic. I'm addicted to drugs. I want somebody that has dominion over that to pray with them. They can sympathize with them. They can pray for them. Sister Mandy back there, she's already fought that battle and she's won. She's got dominion over it. There's a difference when we pray in the Spirit. You come to me with eye problems, I promise you, I can sympathize with you. I was blind for 12 days, but now I can see. I'm telling you, he can still open blinded eyes. Church, we're sitting on a powerhouse right here. If we would just realize the strength that we have, the promotions that God has given us to pray for those that are in need. I know this has been a little different for Sunday morning, but it's what the Lord laid on my heart. And if I could challenge you to one thing this week, and that is to change it up. Don't let the devil see it coming. In the middle of the day, the middle of the night, middle of the evening, early in the morning when you wake up, pray. Catch him off guard. And it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in your family. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your church, your job. But pray. I'm not talking about just praying, just a simple prayer. But I'm talking about praying in earnest in the Spirit.